through 35. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 32 through 35. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the world, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, that not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. We appreciate your presence, being with us. In the 19th chapter of Matthew, in verse 10, Jesus says, Pete has taught his disciples about the matter of marriage and divorce, and they respond to him and say, if the relationship of the man with his wife is like this, it is better not to marry. But he said to them, not all men can accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are also eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. He was able to accept this, let him accept it. This statement by the disciples was their reaction to what Jesus had told them about the matter of marriage and divorce. And that's not the topic for our discussion this morning. The elders' messages this month have dealt with the roles of various members of the family, the wife, mother, the husband, father, the child. And we decided that there is a significant number of people who are members of the Lord's church who are not in those relationships at all times. And so we decided to finish with the discussion of the responsibilities of unmarried Christians. And so the reason why I'm using this verse is the observation that Jesus makes about the eunuchs, I think... remains true if you just think about the unmarried in general. Now, the physical practice of making men eunuchs by removing part of their sexual organs, while still practiced in some parts of the world, is very uncommon. But the point of that was so that they would not marry, that they would not have interest in the married state and could serve as slaves and do what their masters wanted them to do. But Jesus actually says that in this regard, there were three ways in which a person could be in that condition. He said some are born that way. They are born without those normal interests. So I'm going to call that naturally. There are people that were eunuchs naturally. There are people who by nature, and we'll get into that in just a moment, at least at this particular stage of their life, are unmarried. Then there are some who are made that way by men. And that certainly could be the case for singles today, that it is because of the action of others that they are not married. And there are some who are by choice. And Jesus said some men made that choice for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And there are many today who are unmarried by choice. And so essentially we want to talk about three stages of life in which we believe that Christians can find themselves unmarried. The first of those is while they're young. And I would suggest to you that this is the most common and universal way that people are in an unmarried state. The way it works is when you're born as an infant, you must be nurtured. you must grow to a position of both physical and mental maturity before you become interested in the opposite sex, and maybe hopefully a little bit more maturity before you become interested in being married to a member of the opposite sex. That varies by the individual. It varies by the additional influence of things like culture, economic conditions, social conditions. All can impact the length of time in which a young person normally would remain unmarried. But whatever the length of time, the young believer who remains unmarried has scriptural guidance for them in the conduct of their life in general as a young person. And because of how short our time is, I'm only going to look at two passages, one from the Old Testament, one from the New. As Solomon is bringing the Ecclesiastes to close, he deals with this issue. In 11:9, he says, "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to the judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart, and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, 'I have no delight in them.'" My brief summary of what Solomon is saying there to the young people is there's nothing wrong with being young, and one of the prerogatives of being young is to do some things and enjoy some things that you will not be able to do later in life when the responsibilities of life come to you. But what Solomon says is that's all well and good, but you need to remember that while you are doing that, you're still accountable to God. You are still accountable, and just being young is not a free pass to sin. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card that says, "I can do these things," and the excuse of, "Well, I was young," it dismisses everything. Now, Solomon says you have a responsibility, you have an accountability. And so if you're young and you're unmarried, that's fine. And you can enjoy some of the things that go with that lack of responsibility of having a family. But it does not mean that you're free to live any way you want to live, because your God is going to hold you account for the way in which you conduct yourself. The New Testament passage is what Paul says to Timothy, and I understand that Timothy was probably a little bit older than a teenager when Paul said this to him, but the statement is a good one. He says, "Let no one look down upon your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself to be an example to those who believe." And so those who are younger, whatever that word means, and particularly since we're talking about being younger and not married, need to understand that whatever might go with that from the eyes of the world does not necessarily apply in the life of a Christian. That even though we are young, even though we are unmarried, we are still a child of God, and therefore we are still accountable, and we should be the example, even in that young unmarried state, of what it means to be one who follows God. And so, in that young unmarried state, we try to live in such a way that our speech, our conduct, the way in which we live our lives still reflects that we have this appreciation and recognize our accountability before God. Well, the second group that would of Christians that were unmarried would be those who are adults, past the age of youthfulness. And as we know in our particular culture and in most of Western European cultures, this has become an extended period of time where marriage is delayed, primarily because of economic reasons. There are young adults who are unmarried. There are more mature adults who are unmarried. And we could find that in this case, this really does follow the pattern of what Jesus said in Matthew 19 about eunuchs, because There are some who find themselves unmarried in the adult part of their life, who are unmarried because of the acts of other people. Unmarried because someone has done something that may have forced that condition upon them. Some may be unmarried because of the sins of others. This was one of the aspects of what Jesus taught in Matthew 19 that disturbed the disciples in the context of the passage we read to begin. Because what Jesus had said to them in Matthew 19:9 is, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And he that marrieth her when she is put away commits adultery." And they said, if that's the case, it would be better off not to be married. And I realize this is very unpopular in our modern culture. One of the real consequences of the sexual revolution in the post-World War II era, it has been the deterioration of the home and the family. But the bottom line is there are people today who should not marry. And maybe they themselves were innocent, but because of the sinful acts of others, and they were put away for an unscriptural cause, they should remain unmarried to keep themselves right in the sight of God. And so there are people that are unmarried and should remain unmarried because they've been forced into that position by the acts of others. There are others who are unmarried because of various situations that they might find themselves in. Some may choose to remain unmarried because they are thrust with obligations or life situations that cause them not to question the rightness or wrongness of the marriage relationship, but for them to question the rightness or the wisdom, I should say, of them entering into the marriage relationship. I think this was what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where he said, I think it is good in view of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Then do not seek to be released. So you see, he's not saying marriage is not appropriate. But he goes on to say, are you released from a wife? Then do not seek a wife. But if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this life, and I am trying to spare you. I personally have known people who have ended up not being married because maybe, for lack of better terms, when they were at the prime marriageable age, they had a sibling that needed someone to take care of them. And they dedicated themselves to that, or their parents were in a condition where they needed to do that, and they dedicated themselves to that. There may be others in circumstances throughout the history of the world where the present circumstances, like conditions of war or great oppression, may have caused them to choose not to marry. I think Paul's reference was probably to the threat of persecution that was going to be faced by the early church. And that could tempt a married person to possibly compromise in order to protect their loved ones. That Paul was saying, if you don't have that obligation, you may be better off with what is coming. And so we look at that and we say that it's totally acceptable and appropriate for a person to say, because of my life circumstance, because of who I am and what I am and what my responsibilities are, I choose not to marry. And you can be a faithful Christian and make the choice not to be married. And now, some are unmarried by chance, and that's not discussed in the passage that we read. But since marriage in our culture requires two willing recipients, when a little girl is born, her parents in this culture do not go out and arrange their marriage for 18 years in the future and secure all of that. We live in a culture where both participants willingly enter into the arrangement. And you know, I am firmly convinced that throughout my life, I have known unmarried men and women of mature age in the church who wanted to be married, but the right person had not necessarily come along. I had a good friend who knew who the right person was. The problem was they didn't think he was the right person. They thought somebody else was the right person, you know, that type of thing. And so while they might very much want to be married, the situations of life have worked out so that they are not. And so what does the Scripture say to us about that? Well, I would simply say we've read the passages, because the things that are said to people when they are young apply to us when we're mature. Christians are still responsible to understand that we're accountable to God. And that regardless of our situation concerning married or not being married, the responsibility is to be sexually pure, to be the right kind of people, to set the right kind of example. Those all still apply whether you're 20 or whether you're 40. Or older. But what we do find, and this is the passage that I had Miles read for us this morning, is that unmarried Christians also need to say, well, whether this is what I wanted or whether it's what has been thrust upon me, it does provide me an opportunity to serve God. Because that's what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. That it's not wrong to be married. Anybody that doesn't think that marriage gives you a different set of responsibilities and priorities, hasn't been married or isn't taking marriage seriously the way they ought to. And so what Paul says in this passage is, you know, the advantage of being unmarried is that you can do things for the Lord and you can put Him in a place in your life that by the very nature of marriage, a man or a woman who is married cannot, because the man who is married has husbandly responsibilities that have already been talked about this week, or this month in these studies. The woman who is married has wifely and motherly responsibilities, and we've talked about that during this series. But if you are single, you don't have to worry about those responsibilities. And so you can choose then to put yourself in service to God in ways that allows you to do things that other folks cannot do. We don't want to misunderstand this. Paul clearly says that marriage is an acceptable option. There is no teaching that single people, that the single state is required to be of spiritual service in the church. That's not found anywhere in Scripture. That's human tradition. Those who choose to marry do not sin, but those who are unmarried need to control themselves so that they avoid the sins that could happen in that condition. And they need to look at the fact that they have an opportunity to serve that perhaps they would not have otherwise. And then the third group that I would like to talk about is that some are unmarried, the circumstances of life. The widows and the widowers. And I don't have but a minute or two, so I'm going to move through this pretty quickly. But that's one of the realities of life. For every married couple that's sitting in the audience this morning, we know that the odds are very great that one or the other of us is going to be left without our mate. Except in the case of some very disastrous types of accidents that take both parties at the same time, the natural condition is for one mate to be left widowed or widower by death. And depending upon when that happens, whether the man or woman is the one who dies first or other circumstances that we would say, when this happens, some who find themselves in this condition will remarry, and others will either choose not to remarry or because some of the very same things that we've already talked about concerning the unmarried, they will not find a suitable person to continue life in a married state. And either option presents challenges to Christians who find themselves in this condition. Those who choose to remarry have the responsibility to remember the importance of the spiritual relationship in marriage. A passage that is controversial with a lot of folks is 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 39. A wife is bound as long as her husband lives, but if her husband is dead, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. This passage I've heard hotly debated through my entire life, what only in the Lord means. The strictest interpretation means that a widow or widower can only marry a Christian. Luckily, Brent's here. Maybe he can answer that for us at some point. I'm not qualified enough in the Greek when I go reading all those arguments, but I prefer to be much more practical about that. I'm not sure about all those arguments. But here's what I am sure of, that more than once in my life I've known a Christian who has been widowed or is a widower who is so determined to be married that they've married somebody and that person and that relationship has totally taken them away from faithfulness to the Lord. I don't have any problem at all saying that violates the Scripture. That if you're a widow or a widower and you've lived your life as a faithful Christian, you should not look at the desire or the need to be married to be more valuable than your soul. If you're unmarried in any sense, you should not look at the desire or the need to be married to be more valuable than your soul. And that's really all we have time for today. We didn't go into any of the other stuff that we could be said about widows, widowers, or all that. We're going to ask Justin to lead our prayer, then we'll be dismissed to our classes.